I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, had a heart to share the truth of Scripture and point people to Christ. Through the Christian Worship Hour, his messages continue to reach lives with hope and encouragement. We are thankful for our Facebook friends and for the many comments you share. Here are a few. I have been watching CWH for so many years and always receive such a blessing each week. Another comment, I am so glad I found Christian Worship Hour one day while flipping through the channels. It has been a part of my life ever since. And I look forward to worshiping with you weekly. I'm so thankful you are still broadcasting and I am able to watch Pastor Salem preach. It sure blesses me. Today, we turn to the fourth great I Am of Jesus as he declares, I am the door. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we are going to be continuing our studies today on the great I Ams of Jesus. And in these I Ams, he is declaring that he is God. And so they're very beneficial, and they help our faith as we look at these eight I Ams of Jesus. The psalmist writes in Psalm 92, the opening verses, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And O Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to worship you. And wherever we might find our loved ones and our friends that are listening today, all over the world, we've come to bow at your feet and to listen to your word and rejoice in the wonderful Savior. So may your blessings rest upon this service, and may you be pleased in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to start us out singing, and he says, he keeps me singing. So God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was filled with sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken springs, stirred the lumbering floods again. Pulling on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Well, amen to that, Hank. That's exactly right. The sweetest name I know is Jesus. And I've told it 100 times or more, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. To know him is to love him. And he is always there. And we're going to be thinking about this wonderful Savior today, where he talks about how that he is the door. He is the way to God. He is the way to heaven. Oh, it's glorious just to talk about the Savior. But our letters, I had two children stop in this last week. I think one was 10 and one was 12. And they said they like to hear the letters. And they listened to the whole service and they listened to the sermon. And boy, I tell you, if I'd have had a $100 bill, I'd have given it to them. That's just it. Their children can understand what we're talking about. And that's the way it ought to be. That's what Jesus did. He talked to the multitudes and there the little children were there and they were listening and they were coming to Jesus. That's the only way to travel. Just talk so people can understand. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters. Here's one from Traverse, Michigan. And this person writes, I'd like to know how many times I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save my soul. Now, you'd be surprised the number of people that ask that. And I'll tell you how many times. How many times were you born physically? Once. How many times are you born spiritually? Jesus said, you must be born again. He's talking about spiritual birth. One time. And when you do that, you become a child of God and you become a part of the body of Christ and you have eternal life and you will never be lost. So then you say, well, why do I pray anytime then if I just have to pray that once? Well, it's for that fellowship with the Lord as we talk to the Lord. Sometimes we say things, we do things. If you're married and have you ever said something kind of hurt your spouse? And then you say you're sorry about that, you see? Well, that's what we do as we travel through the life. We sin all the time, and we always go to Jesus and tell him we're sorry for our sins, and we just want to be in fellowship with the Lord. But as far as being his child, that's settled. Well, here's Vyborg, South Dakota. This is a lady writing, and it's a beautiful story. She said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you keep touching me more. I thank God for honest, down-to-earth ministers, for that's what I've known all my life. I made more mistakes than many other people, and again, thank God for his forgiveness. I had a boyfriend when I was 15. My dad sent him a running. He wanted to be a minister. I said, I'm not a minister's wife material. I sent him a Dear John letter. After many years of marriage, his wife died and he called. We live 300 miles apart, but we have a daily relationship most couples would envy. It has been more than a joy. His life is threatened at 89. We lean heavily on each other. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Isn't that a beautiful letter? I just love that letter. Here's Billings, Montana. Said, I just finished watching the film Heart of a Shepherd. It's a very inspiring story and one that has a powerful message of hope. Holding fast to my faith, keep preaching. This is a one-hour film, and it is an evangelistic film, and it's a film that we put together, and it's carrying the message of coming to Jesus. And we had one man who took this. He wouldn't listen to anybody, and they talked to him for years to accept Jesus. He wouldn't do it. And he listened to that film all by himself, and at the end of the film, he prayed to accept Jesus and wrote and told his sister. He had one sister in heaven, one on earth. Wrote to the one on earth and says, I'm going to see my sister in heaven. And it wasn't much a couple of months later, and he went to be with the Lord and see his sister. So you just write to us, and you get your paper and pencil ready. And at the close of the service, I'm going to give you just how you can get it. And we'll send it free and postpaid. So just hang on, and we'll tell you all about it later. Well, here's one, and this person says, in Tucson, Arizona, and said, As a Pentecostal preacher's kid from long ago, I've heard a great many good teachings from days past, but sadly, no longer hear them. Keep preaching and praying for another 100 years. Love you, brother in Christ. And so he's given me 100 years. Well, we'll see. We're going to leave that to the Lord. see what God has in mind. It's all to the Lord and this wonderful Savior. And we'll just, he gives us a time to be born, and he gives us a time to go home. And if we know the Lord, we'll go to be with him in heaven. If we don't know the Lord, if we haven't accepted Jesus, we go out of this world into a Christless eternity. And Jesus said, it's a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. And he wanted to warn us, come to Jesus, find salvation. Here's Warland, Wyoming, and said, thank you for your life of faithfulness, dedication to our Almighty Lord. God is using the Christian Worship Hour to win souls to him and away from Satan, even as the world comes darker and more evil. May God bless you all and keep looking up. Your new song devotional is a blessing to us at Warland Healthcare. And that little devotional, I'm going to talk about that at the end of the service. And it's a little Bible study we put out every month, and to all who write in, glad to send it. But I just was thinking, he says, becomes darker and more evil. I've been preaching now 75 years. And I'm going to tell you, friends, it is a lot darker and it's a lot more evil. You can't believe it. I wouldn't have believed it in that day when I started out with the Lord. So just put your faith in the Lord. Come to Jesus and find everlasting life, and you'll find hope all along the way. Now, here's one, and it says that this is from Riviera Beach, Florida. My mom has been listening to you for a while now, and she loves your message. It's a very simple, understandable, and you preach repentance. For years, my mom would not listen to anyone because either way, they were screaming and hollering or preaching about how much money we should give to God or God won't bless us. She was so turned off from church, but now we make it a family affair to listen on Sundays. Well, I'm going to tell you, we ask for money because we have to have money, but we don't make any promises that you're going to get rich if you give money. You just give because you love the Lord, and God will take care of that. And we never make a big thing out of it. And some of them are jumping around, she says here, and moving around and hollering and jumping around. Yeah, you know what you could do? You can nail my shoes to the floor and I wouldn't know it. I'm just as if I moved around, I'd forget what I was saying. So we just preach the wonderful word. Here's one that says St. Peter's, Missouri. And they write and say, can you please speak on the use of saying, oh my God? Everyone is saying it now with no regards on just how holy our God is. Is this not using God's name in vain? Isn't this blasphemous? And I can tell you, it is blasphemy. You know, God tells us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, God tells us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord thy God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so this dear God, he loves us. But when we take his name in vain, it's a terrible affront against God. And he says it is just like blasphemy. And you don't have to use it in cursing. You can just use it in a flippant way, or my God, and just go on that way. We should be reverent with God's word, reverent and holy and trusting this wonderful Savior, this wonderful Jesus. Then one other letter I will have to share is, and I like this. This lady is from Harlan, Iowa. She says, I'm 100 years old, but I'm doing well and thankful that I can still do things and help others here. There are so many needy people. Thank you. Now listen to her. She's 101. I'm 98, and I'm very jealous of her for one thing. But she's 101. No, 100. I got a letter from a lady who was 101. Seems like all these women have been out and living us men. But anyway, she's 100 years old, and this is what she says. There are so many needy people. She's helping others. There she is. Instead of looking for a handout and somebody to take care of her, she's taking care of other people. Now, if you live to be 100 or whatever you live to be, If you're given extra years, I'll tell you what it's for. It's to serve God and to serve others and help others in Jesus' name. It's not here just to spend it all on yourself and take selfie pictures and all that. Good grief, I see him take these selfie pictures. I don't want to see a picture of myself and on television. That's why I like shortwave radio. They can't see me. And I think I get nice, good letters from people on shortwave. They can't see me. But they're just taking things for themselves and live just for themselves and nothing else. And Jesus says, you lose your life, you find it. You give your life to the Lord, and you'll find it as you walk with the Lord. And so I hope that you can write to us and let us know what you're at. And then, you know, a lot of these people, when you ask these questions, I have people write and say, well, I wanted to know about that, but I just hated to ask. I felt that it was such a dumb question. If you have a question, it's never dumb. And you write, and we'll do our best to answer it. So here's our address. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And this box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57401. I'll give it again at the close of the service, but I hope we can hear from you from some letters. So now, on a better tune, we're going to have Jan. She's going to play us a piano solo. And God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. Your playing is always a blessing to me, and I know to many, many people who hear from that always love to hear those hymns and her rendition of those different great old hymns, the hymns of the church. Well, we're reading from John chapter 10, verses 7 to 14. Jesus is at the temple, and he's preaching and teaching the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's telling them he is God, and they're wanting to stone him. And so we begin with the seventh verse, John chapter 10, verse 7. And we read, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known of mine. Today we're going to pray for this persecuted church in Syria. It's one of the hardest places in the world to live a Christian life is in Syria. So many have died in that country, and we need to pray for that church. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all. We have this wonderful passage that you are the door. You are the door to that sheepfold. And once we go into your sheepfold and go in there, we have perfect security. The devil can never harm us. He can never take us. He may tempt us and he may try to get us to sin and all of that, but he can never touch our soul. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. We're safe in that fold. And that wonderful door is Jesus and the way to heaven and the way to God and the way to you is through that wonderful Jesus, the shepherd. And so we pray that everyone who listens today dear Lord, that they will pay attention and that the Holy Spirit will talk to them. And Lord, maybe they think, well, they're too sinful. Maybe they think they're too poor. Maybe they think nobody on earth knows me. God wouldn't know me. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows every one of us. You know what he does? He has the stars, as many stars as there are. He gives them names. And he knows your name and he knows all about you and he loves you. And for especially for those in Syria, Lord, I would just pray that you'll give them courage and strength and help them to know that there's a reason and a purpose for these things. And that those who die for you, Lord, will receive a martyr's crown. And won't that be something to say? They laid down their life for the Lord. And so bless them and bless the children. And some of them have lost their parents, Lord. I know that you're with them, the good shepherd's there. So now in this service, Lord, may all we do and say honor the wonderful Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And let's see, Melissa's going to sing, When I See What You See. So I'm going to listen to the words for that.
A couple of years ago, my best friend committed suicide and I lost her. And in the tough times, I try to picture what she sees in heaven. And that's what this song is. Passed on to heaven, I sure miss you now. I wonder how you spend your days. Try to picture it somehow, till I see what you see. At least they got to stay. Precious times, all our own, that I think of every day, till I see what you see, till I see what you see. Loved ones there, joy to share.
Melissa, I admire you for singing that. And I remember when she prayed and was with her friend and stood by. And now I don't know if I can read my notes after that. But isn't it wonderful that that's why we preach and that's why we teach. We're going to see those people again. But we'll only see those who come to Jesus, come to God through Jesus. You know, we're going to look at where Jesus says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. They're kind of tied together here, but we're going to have separate sermons on each one. And the only way, Jesus is telling us, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And here's Melissa singing, and her friend helped her friend come to know Jesus. And now she's gone and singing. I just admire you for that. God bless you, sister. Well, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and all, and he tells them that I am the door. And Jesus, in this, when he uses this word, I am, he's using the name of God Almighty, the triune God. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of the eternal God. There's no question about it. Jesus Christ is called God. He claimed to be God. God the Father declared him that he was his Son and that he was equal with God. The apostles had no doubt about the fact. They were willing to give their lives of the proclamation of that fact that Jesus Christ is God. Following the declaration of Jesus, we have the event of the healing of the man born blind. And it's given to us in the previous chapter, John chapter 9. And when he was restored to perfect health and perfect eyesight, he's born blind, given perfect eyesight. And he declared that he felt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he actually worshiped him. He didn't know who Jesus was. He was blind. He'd never seen Jesus. And then he talked to him, and they asked him, and he says, a man came and did this. And he says he might have been a prophet. And the more he talks, the more he believes. And finally, he comes and throws himself at Jesus' feet and worships him and believes that he is the Son of God. He is God. Jesus went to this man, because he insisted that Jesus was God, they put him out of the excommunicated him. They put him out of the place of worship, and that was the worst thing to some people. If they wouldn't let you go to church, it wouldn't bother you a bit. You don't go anyway, to your own detriment. But to the Jewish person, that going to that place of worship, to that tabernacle, oh, that was a great thing. And now they're saying you can't come in to worship God. That was the worst thing you could say to that man, is just like saying, go to hell. But they put him out because they hated Jesus so much, they excommunicated him from the temple. And Jesus went to this excommunicated man, and he told him about the shepherd and the sheep. And he offered to give that man a new way of life. He offered to take that man in. And if all he had to do was come to the Lord and give himself to Jesus and put his faith in Jesus, which he had done. And so he talks this man, I am the good shepherd. So along with today's I am the door, we have intertwined in a beautiful way another I am. We have I am the door and I am the good shepherd. And they're tied together so beautifully, but we're going to use two sermons. Emphasis on this today, on the I am the door. And to get the picture of that, you have to travel in the Middle East. And I've seen it traveling in different parts of that part of that world. And I've seen these places where they have a sheepfold. And the sheepfold would just be a circular thing. It might be a square. And it was built up with rocks. And on the tops of the rocks, there were bramble bushes, so nothing could come in. And there was one opening. And when you went to that one opening, that's where the sheep came in and came out. But there wasn't a door. How can you close the door? And the reason there wasn't a door is because the shepherd would lie in that doorway. No wolf could come in and no sheep could go out. The shepherd was literally the door. And when Jesus says, I am the door, he is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. And by that door, he says, here, the only way to God, the only way in. The sheep can't come out. and the wolf can't go in. There's absolute perfect care and watching. And that wonderful God, that wonderful Jesus, that's the door. The shepherd is the door. Jesus Christ is the door. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way, and that way is a person. And I've given 66 years of my life to the church, and I love the church. And the church is an organization instituted by God, and the church is the bride of Christ and is going to be in heaven, the true church. And the true church is that who takes God, takes Jesus Christ as God, believes in the Holy Trinity, and believes in the Word of God, and accepts Jesus into their life. And when you accept Jesus Christ, you're a part of that family of God. You've come through that door. Again, Jesus said the same thing when you come to John chapter 14. A little bit later, he says to the disciples, I am the way, I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can try every means you want to get to heaven, or you can take what Jesus said as gospel truth and put your faith and trust in him alone. In this wonderful declaration we have just read from John's gospel, we find it was directed to a man who had been born blind. Jesus had healed him. He became a faithful witness. He worshiped God and put his faith in God. And now he was a man of loneliness. He was a man of sorrow. He was a man in darkness. He was a man who was lost. And then Jesus tells him, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. John 10, verse 9. Jesus offered this man a whole new way of life if he wanted it. And it was all decided up to him whether he's going to accept this Jesus as his Savior, as his shepherd. It wasn't up to the shepherd, because the shepherd had given his life on the cross and he was going to shed his blood for the sins of the world. And he loved that man, but the shepherd can't do it for you. You have to come to him. And so Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him and he with me. But he will never come through that door unless you open the door and ask him to come in. There's a picture of Holman Hunt, and he pictured the Jesus at the door, and he's knocking at the door, the heart's door. And he had some friends come in and see that picture. And when they looked at him, they says, Hunt, you've left out the main thing. There is no knob on that door. And Hunt said, of course there isn't. The only way you can open it is from the inside. You've got to do it, my friend. And some of you had the invitation, heard it 100 times over, and you turn him down. And every time you turn him down and turn him away, you get a little more hard. You get a little tougher. You get a little farther away. The darkness gets a little deeper. And what you have to do, it's all in your court. It isn't in your wife or your husband or your children or anybody else. You have to do it. And so if you open that door, you can come in. And I'll be the door, Jesus said. And so the door to what? Well, it's a door to all, everything that is good. It's the door to everything that is everlasting. It's a door to everything that is pure and clean. It's the door to everything that's worthwhile and eternal. It's a door of a new day, a new life, a whole new world. We become a new creation when we have Christ Jesus. Let me quickly point out some of the wonderful things that Christ opens when he opens the door. And when we open that door and come in, it's a door. Jesus is a door to real peace. He'll give you peace. I talked to a man to a lady yesterday about her brother and how that he heard the voice of Jesus and over the telecast, he prayed that prayer, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry, he prayed it with us. Prayed it with us, what it tell me. The man prayed it with us and said, Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take them away. And I'll forsake those sins the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. He made that prayer, and the man said a week later, I have peace. I have peace. And I've seen that over and over. How the world talks about peace, yet all over the globe, what do? They talk about war. They talk about peace, and then they get into wars everywhere. Nations are at war with each other. Parents are battling with each other sometimes. Children are battling at the doors. There's fighting, but there's no peace. And the reason there's no peace and if not peace in your life is because you don't have Christ. You don't have Jesus. You have to have Jesus. When a man is right with God, he's right with his fellow men. When you find a cantankerous old soul, and maybe that's where your boss is. I don't know about some of these bosses. Some of them can be kind of ornery old things. When you find a cantankerous soul, whether he's a boss or whatever it is, and there's backbiting and there's bad mouthing each other, and that when you see that, you know that they're not right with God. And when they get right with God through Jesus Christ, the battles will end. The war is over. And they live in peace with each other. But when a person is, as Jesus demanded, born again, he enters that door. When you just make that prayer, just as I prayed it over a minute ago, I prayed that prayer when I was 10 years old, and now I'm 98 years old, 88 years ago. I remember that prayer and that time as if it was yesterday. I didn't see voices. I didn't see lights. I didn't hear anything out of heaven or anything like that, like Paul did, Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He was struck down from a light from heaven. And nothing like that happened to me, just a kid out on the farm. But I made that prayer, that evangelist, Vernon Egebrot, and God bless him, he's in heaven. And I can't wait to thank him again. And he said, just pray with me. And just pray that Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. That's what I prayed. But I remember the next day I had peace. I just had a wonderful peace that my sins were all gone. And you know what God says? Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He will never bring them back again. Now the devil will. He's bringing them all the time he can to aggravate you and cause you to have hard feelings. And you know why he does that? Because he knows you can't do anything about the past. You can't change the past. But you can have it all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. So God says, come now. Let us reason together. Use your sense. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And when you think of wool, you think of the dirty wool of on their backs, and you see some of the brambles and all. But what God is talking about is when you shear that sheep, there's a beautiful lanolin there, and it's white and glistening. I know. One of my first jobs was tying wool for sheep shears. And I've tied a lot of bundles of wool, and they're just as white and clean and pure. And that's what Jesus will do for you. If you have come to him and ask him to save you and ask him to take away your sins, they'll be taken away. So this wonderful Savior, he'll give you peace. And Jesus is the door then to real joy. The angels at Bethlehem came, and they said, joy to the world. There's joy because there's a Savior. Joy to the world. And the terribleness of man's sins make one wonder where this so-called civilization is going. There's nothing but trouble and trials. But when you come to Jesus, you find joy and happiness, and you find strength and guidance as you lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people, I tell you, I've seen it over and over. People have come to joy, come to Jesus, and they talk about that joy and that peace and that happiness. It's all in their breast, in their heart, and it'll be there as long as you live until you go to heaven. But you say you don't know my problems, and you don't know how terrible things are. But I'm going to tell you something. If you come to Jesus, Jesus knows all about it. And when he died on the cross, he saw every one of your sins, every one of my sins. And wouldn't you like to know what some of my sins are? What if I say, now tonight you come down there to church and I'll have a movie and I'll show you all my sins. Boy, I bet you couldn't get it. The crowd couldn't get in there fast enough. But you know what? You'll never, ever see my sins. They're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And your sins can be washed away also. And this door opens to that place where you have peace and you have joy. And so if you just come to the Lord and just put your faith in Him and rest in Him, you'll find that peace. And then this door is also the door to contentment. The world is filled with unrest and uneasiness. We've got ulcers all over the place. Nowadays, if a man doesn't have an ulcer, people think that he doesn't have an interest in his job, or he doesn't have any ambition. And they ask one man if he had ulcers, and it was the boss. He says, "No, I don't have ulcers. I give ulcers." Well, there's a lot of ulcers running around when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God talks about that. He says, when you're out in your sins and you have these unforgiven sins and you're far off from God, well, what does the old prophet say? Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, 20 and 21, he says the wicked, that is the people, not just the wicked that are killing people, but when he talks about the wicked, he means those who don't trust God. They didn't know about Jesus. But when you come to the New Testament, Jesus is the key. And those who don't have Jesus, says the wicked, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, if my God, to the wicked. Yes, you know, you might be resent being called wicked, but this is what God says. You have to have Jesus. And then that all will settle down. And St. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And there was time when Paul had little, and there was time when he had much, but he was always content and satisfied with the wonderful Savior, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And then this good rule to follow is never be content with your spiritual life. Try to be more like Christ. Always work to be more like Christ, but don't worry about the material things. Because you may be rich and you may be poor, but you can be happy and joyful in the Lord. I read about a man in ancient times, the king, and he was just so upset, and he felt so terrible. And what can I do? He says, I've just got to have something. And they said, I know what we can do. One of the wise men says, I know what we can do. We'll go and we'll get find somebody who's working, who has a shirt. And we'll get his shirt, and we'll bring it to you and put his shirt on. And so they went out looking all over, and they found a wood chopper. And he's sitting outside his wife there, and he was playing with his children, having a wonderful time. And they went to him and told him the story, and they says, could you give us your shirt? He says, I don't even have a shirt. He was the happiest man in the town. It's coming. It's the heart. And just come to Jesus and put your heart in Him, and you'll be content with what you have, and you'll rejoice with what you have, because this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, I tell you, I never get tired preaching about Him, because He's so great. And then this door is the door of freedom and liberty. And don't we in America talk about freedom and liberty? And we have so that we have freedom of speech. And we can say anything we want. We can curse God if we want. We can cause trouble all over the neighborhood. We can gossip and we can do anything because we have liberty. We have freedom, and we talk about that. But you see, there's much misunderstanding about this world and to this point, because the world believes that to become a Christian, that it limits a person and it boxes a person in. You see, there are those thou shalt not. And thou shalt, and they don't like that. And that's why they try to get rid of God. That's why they try to get rid of the Bible. They don't want anybody to tell them anything. And the world thinks that all too many times that the Christian life is a stack of don'ts and do's and don'ts. And I don't want that. I want to be free and footloose and fancy free. But Jesus is the one who really sets us free. You don't know what freedom is unless you have Jesus Christ. You don't have any idea. Jesus says, I am the door. And what did he say? If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall go in and out. He's been liberated. He has freedom. He's set free. And the Bible tells us, if the Son hath set you free, ye shall be free indeed. There you are. These people who today who think they're free, they have their liberty and their freedom, they say. They're footloose and fancy free, but they're not free at all, because they're bound with evil habits and they're imprisoned in prejudice and hatred, and they're bound by superstitions and falsehoods, and they're bound by liquor and alcohol and tobacco and drugs and the lottery. They're bound by gambling and all of the rest. They're bound victims of an evil mind, dirty, unclean pictures that they see, the movies that they make and the things that they do. They're not free at all. They're bound in that evil, black, dark world. They are superstitious of everyone except themselves, and they're frightened half to death about death. They're scared to death, and well they should be, because they claim to be free, and that's an old idle boast. I want to tell you something. We prayed about the persecuted church in Syria. Those Christians, those believers, are freer than a lot of these Americans that are ridding it, living it up, and living a terrible life. It's only in Jesus Christ. They claim to be free, but they're not free at all. They are all have, because it's through Jesus Christ. You have to have Jesus. So Jesus is the door. He's the door to absolute security. When absolute positive security for the body and for the soul. Where can you find that? Where can you find real liberty and security? Well, you don't find it. Not anything this world has to offer, let me assure you. They can't give you any security. You don't know what a day will bring forth. You don't know what will happen to you before the day is over. You don't have to live long in this life. You don't have to have much gray matter to know that this world and all that in it is very shaky, and it's like quicksand, and there isn't anything solid and anything for sure. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I give unto him eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. John chapter 10, all of those verses. Some people have tried to discredit that statement, but our Lord said he didn't. He meant it exactly, that it's going to stand and it's going to stand forever. And heaven and earth can pass away, but his words will never pass away. And so that's what you have to do. They have a wonderful, wonderful security. And he tells us in this wonderful passage here, I tell it over and over. He says that I will hold you in my hands. Jesus says, you don't hold on to me by just doing a lot of this and that and everything. You live a good life because you love the Lord. You help other people because you love the Lord, not to be saved. Because you're never saved by works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so this wonderful Jesus, we just put our faith and ask him, and he takes us and he holds us. Jesus said, it's held right. I hold them in my hand. You don't hold on to me, because I might lose my mind. I might get Alzheimer's, and I wouldn't know if I was coming or going. I wouldn't know anything. Maybe I'd curse his name in my ignorance or my losing my mind. But this wonderful Jesus holds me, and he wants to hold you. But that isn't all. He goes on and he says that the Father holds the Son's hands. And somebody says, well, what if I get out and go into sin? And I say, you mean you're so tough and you're so strong you can get out of the hand of God? Or is something wrong with you someplace? You got some lines mixed up somewhere. Jesus holds me, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I never doubt it for a minute. And if I commit a sin on my deathbed, I know that I'm going to heaven because Jesus holds me. And when he paid for my sins, he paid for my sins all up to the day I was saved. And then he paid for all of my sins all of the rest of the way and all the way till I got to heaven. Did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, I hadn't committed any of my sins yet? But he paid for all of it. It's all paid, paid in full. And that wonderful Savior, that's what he wants to do. And he wants to come into your heart. And he wants to take it to himself. And he wants you to know that he loves you. And that he will never leave you or forsake you. The psalmist talks about that. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Oh, oh, I tell you, friends, come to Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We preach it over and over. And you have to come to Jesus. And some people say, I don't know, I've got so many sins and they're so bad. One woman told me, she says, I've got so many sins. She used to travel, she used to be with a very evil organization, lived a horrible life. And she says, if I ever get baptized, would baptized by immersion in her case, the water will all turn black. That's what the poor thing felt. And she thought there was no hope. But I could tell her, you're not washed in the water. You're washed in the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And when you come to Jesus and you put your faith in him, Jesus says, I am the door. And you can come to me and you can come to heaven and you can be with God and you can be with me forever. And it's all if you just make that prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And Billy Graham says, if you want to name some of them, name them, but just to Jesus, nobody else, nobody else, just Jesus, you and Jesus. And I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come and you pray right now with me. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. You turn from your evil ways. You don't stay in the pig pen. You try. You're never perfect, but you strive for perfection. Jesus will help you. And if you make that prayer, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want some literature in your Christian life, you let us know. We'll send you literature. And then we also want to tell you this. We have to have your help. If you think that this ministry should carry on, then we have to pay our way. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so you can send that. You can send it, you can send it on the internet. Send a gift on the internet. Just ask God, do you want me to serve the Lord? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to help them? And if he says yes, you do it. And remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, an international organization, audits all of our books. Now, some other good news. We have a little Bible study, and this little Bible study is called the New Song, New Song. And the Bible study this month is 8 ways to overcome discouragement, 8 ways to beat discouragement. And it's free and postpaid. You just write to us. I'm going to give it again in just a minute for all you people on shortwave radio. Do you know that we cover 95% of the world's population shortwave radio? And so you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then something else. We have this wonderful film. It's an hour film, The Heart of a Shepherd. We send it out on a free will offering basis, and it's just a story of a boy 10 years old, accepted Jesus and became a preacher, preached for years and years. And so you can write and get that. And if you all also you want to, you can just let us know if you have something you like to know. We talk about, can we know our loved ones in heaven? You just ask for that. is, I think, is about a 10-15 page booklet, and we can give you that. We'd be glad to send it free and postpaid. And if you can help us as you pay, then you pay. If you don't, you don't need to. So now we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for all, every one of you listening. Dear Jesus, thank you for everyone who's worshiped with us today. Thank you for the multitudes that ask you into their heart. And now they're a part of the family of God, and we're going to see them in heaven. Lord, be with those on beds of sickness. Be with the shut-ins. Help the young people as they have their many struggles. And the precious little children, oh God, bless them and help them to put their faith in you. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. They can do the same thing. And so we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to get it, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send gifts from any part in the world, and we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our way. And now before we go, I must tell you this. God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. All of us on the Christian Worship Hour, and we have a good number, must have 100 people working all the time, helping our prayer team and all, and they're doing it because they love you. And I want to tell you, friends, that's why I give all of my life, 75 years, because I love your soul. And I want to see you in heaven. So you make that prayer, and we'll all get together around Jesus' feet. And won't that be great?
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.